Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Today I want to talk to you about a reply to a comment that I received on one of my videos, and it's really important that you understand this because this is a question some of you might have. Actually, I missed this comment, and my daughter, who has a true heart for our wonderful Creator, showed it to me and said, "Dad, this one you need to answer," and I did. So basically, it's the question of, I've never seen any evidence of Yahweh that exists. I say Yahweh, you could say God, you could say the Father, but I've never seen. So the question was, the comment was, I'm still waiting for evidence other than other people's claims that God exists. I'm almost 50 years old, and in almost 50 years, I have never once observed evidence that I am aware of that any God exists. Reading the Bible is not evidence of anything. Now, before we answer this, we need to acknowledge something. That is an honest question that many people have. Most of us might have had that before our eyes were open to see the truth. How can you believe in something you don't see? It's very understandable to our human thinking. Some people ask because they generally do want to know. They're curious, they want to know, they're not looking to debate or argue. Others ask because they've already made up their mind. And we don't know which category someone is in, so we have to respond in a way with humility, kindness, and truth. Regardless of the person's intentions of asking that question, if you decide to engage with that person, if you can't do it in a humble, kind way, it's probably better not to say anything. However, you need to question and ask yourself, if you can't do it in a kind and humble way, is why can't I answer this person with kindness and humility? So it should be answered. It should be answered. Something I've been talking about here for a long time. Something is so important, and what I believe and this ministry believes is, when we get into a discussion with somebody, and we're going to learn from people that we disagree with, not from people we agree with. That's why I always say, you know, if somebody comes out of one of my lectures and they say, "Oh, your lecture was the greatest lecture I've ever heard. It made me feel so good because I agree with everything you said." I will submit to you that that's not one of the greatest lectures. That's one of the worst lectures. If you come out of a lecture or a teaching walking away saying, "I agree with everything he said, I didn't learn anything." Basically, it's when you don't agree that you're pushed to look further and look more and maybe learn something. It feels good if everyone agrees what I say, but I want people to learn. So our goal when we have a conversation with someone should be never ever to win an argument. When somebody has that goal, I can't speak for everyone I don't know, but it seems to me there's some sort of pride in that. And we know what the Bible says about pride. Our goal should never be to win an argument. Our goal should be to help people find the truth. That's what we need to be going in this with. And as I respond to this question and responded to this question, I don't know the person's motive or even his life behind it, because sometimes people have a genuine motive, but they've had bad experiences in life. So the first thing we should ask, instead of immediately trying to prove Yahweh exists, I think there's a better question. What kind of evidence would convince you? So if somebody's mind is made up that God doesn't exist, what kind of information or evidence will convince him of that? Because everyone accepts different types of evidence every day. For example, we believe in history without seeing it ourselves. We believe someone loves us without putting love under a microscope. We trust mathematical laws, but we can't physically touch them. We believe other people have minds even though we cannot see their thoughts. Much of life is based on evidence that is indirect rather than directly observable. So the real question is not, is there evidence? The real question is, what counts as evidence? So this is something we should first be thinking about. The Bible says Yahweh has already given evidence. And many people assume the Bible says just believe. But actually, the Bible says Yahweh has already revealed himself. And as we study the scriptures, we can see this. For me, when I'm walking, and now that I'm into growing gardens and fruit and flowers and understanding the body and how it works, I see the hand of God moving every single second of my life, from my children to the trees I plant, to the way I live, the garden, the food I eat, to health and disease, and understanding that, I see evidence of God everywhere. When I understand the different organs of the body, when I look at a flower and a fruit with my eyes and I see the beauty of that, and I understand the complexity of the brain and how it works, I'm convinced there's not an evolutionary process that took place where we got to where we are today, that the hand of Yahweh must be part of that or in that or the creation of that. But let's look at what the Bible actually says. Even though this person asks, the Bible is not evidence of this, the Bible is not a made-up book. It is a historical book. So if you don't believe in the Bible, you cannot believe that any president you've never met before was actually the president, or you didn't live during that time, because it's all biblical history, right? But let's look at it. Romans. Romans says Yahweh already revealed himself in Romans 1 verses 18 to 20. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Notice several things here. Paul says God's attributes are invisible, yet they are clearly seen. How can that be? How can they be invisible, but at the same time clearly seen? By looking at what he made, creation is evidence. Creation is not God, but creation points to God. Just as painting points to a painter, a building points to a builder, a book points to an author, creation points to a creator. Imagine yourself walking along a beach. You find a beautifully made watch. Would anyone conclude the waves built it? They wouldn't. Why? Because complex, organized information points to intelligence. Now think about the human body. The average adult body contains roughly 37 trillion cells. Every cell contains DNA, the extraordinary information-rich molecule that guides the construction and function of the body. Even many scientists who reject belief in God acknowledge the remarkable complexity of life. The disagreement is not over whether life is complex, but over how complexity ultimately arose. If we recognize design in something as simple as a watch, it is reasonable to answer whether the order we observe in living things also points to itself. Let's look at some of the people in Scripture. We look at David. King David didn't have a telescope. He didn't know about galaxies, yet he looked up into the sky and he saw evidence. Psalms 19 verses 1 to 4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of Yahweh, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Notice David's language. The heavens declare, creation speaks. It reveals knowledge. The heavens don't audibly speak, but they consistently testify. Every sunrise, every newborn baby, every seed that becomes a tree, every change of season, a law of nature, everyone, creation is continually pointing beyond itself. Now, someone may say, "I look at nature, I just don't see God." That brings us back to our original question. Evidence does not interpret itself. Two people can look at the exact same thing, and one sees design and the other sees chance. The evidence may be the same, the interpretation is different. For example, two people walk into an art museum. One says, "What an incredible masterpiece." And the other one says, "It's just paint on a canvas." The painting hasn't changed. The observer has. Yahweh's invisible attributes are known and seen all around to the person that's looking for them. Paul specifically says creation reveals his eternal power and his divine nature. Creation tells us some things about Yahweh. He tells us he is powerful. He tells us he is intelligent. He tells us he is orderly. He tells us he is creative. But creation does not tell us everything about God. Creation cannot tell us that Yahweh is merciful, that Yahweh is holy, that Messiah died for our sins, that salvation is offered through Yeshua. For that, Yahweh gave us his word. Creation introduces us to evidence of a creator. Scripture introduces us to his character and his plan for redemption. The two work together and they are not competitors. So I hope this is making sense. And here's the thing. If you believe in creation, you understand what I'm talking about. But if you don't believe, and Yahweh led you to hear this, listen to this and consider what I am saying. You're looking for evidence, but evidence is different from the absolute proof. Sometimes people ask for proof, but what they really mean is, "I want evidence so overwhelmingly that I have no choice but to believe." Yahweh doesn't generally relate to humanity that way. Throughout Scripture, Yahweh provides enough evidence to invite faith, but he does not force belief by removing all possibilities of rejection. If Yahweh appeared in undeniable glory before every person every day, no one could honestly deny his existence, but people could still choose whether to love him or obey him. The Bible shows knowledge of Yahweh and willingness to submit to him are not always the same thing. Sometimes we spend our time asking, "Does God exist?" Perhaps we should also ask, "If God exists, would I want him to? Or, if I became convinced he was real, would I actually surrender my life to him?" Those are heart questions. Some scriptures often deals with the heart before the intellect. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. That's what it means. Proverbs means wisdom. And it gives us a warning in Proverbs 1 verse 7, or Wisdom 1 verse 7. It says, "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Notice now, the fear of the Lord is not the end of knowledge, it is the beginning. A person who approaches Yahweh with humility is in the best position to receive wisdom. Today I want to challenge you with three questions. What do you consider to be evidence? This is something to ask. The next question is, have you honestly examined the evidence Yahweh says he has already provided? Do you get into the word and look at this and believe it? Then another question, are you open to following the truth, whatever it leads to, even if it changes your life? Because the issue isn't simply whether evidence exists. The issue is whether we are willing to recognize the evidence Yahweh has already placed before us. The Israelites saw more miracles than anyone else. Think about that for a second. If Yahweh would just show us more miracles, then we would believe. The Israelites saw all these miracles. If miracles automatically produce faith, I would think Israel should have been the most faithful nation that ever lived. Consider what they witnessed. They saw the 10 plagues in Egypt. They watched the Red Sea split in two, walked through the sea on dry ground, saw Pharaoh's army destroyed. They ate manna from heaven every morning, and they saw water come from a rock. They were led by a pillar of a cloud by the day and a pillar of fire at night. Imagine seeing all of that. Wouldn't that settle everything? How could you not believe after seeing all that? Well, apparently, it didn't convince them. In Exodus 14, verses 21 to 22, it says, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. And that night, and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on the ground, dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them in their right hand and on the left." Can you imagine standing there with the walls on both sides of you, walls of water? The ocean had just opened up. Hours prior to that, it was literally completely covered. Yet, it was only a short time later the people complained. They doubted, and they wanted to return to Egypt. If evidence was what it is going to convince you only, nobody had more evidence than the Israelites. The problem was never lack of evidence. Listen to Yahweh's own words in Numbers 14, 22 to 23. "Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now see these 10 times and I have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land which I swore to them and their fathers." Notice what Yahweh says. They had seen his glory. They had seen his signs. You see, the problem wasn't their ignorance. The problem was disobedience. This is an important distinction. A person can have enough evidence to know something, yet still refuse to submit to it. Knowing Yahweh exists is not the same as following him. Sometimes people think the bigger question is, does God exist? But according to the scriptures, the bigger question is, will I obey him if he does? Even Satan believed that God exists. That didn't make him righteous. James 2 verses 19 says, if you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even demons believe and tremble. Notice what James says. The demons don't doubt Yahweh's existence. They know he exists. Their problem isn't evidence. Their problem is rebellion. Faith in the Bible is more than acknowledging facts. Biblical faith produces trust and obedience. Now think about Yeshua, the one they called Jesus. No one in history performed more public miracles, healing the blind and lepers, causing the lame to walk and casting out demons, calming down storms, even walking on the water, feeding thousands with loaves and fish. He even raised the dead. Surely, everyone should believe in him, seeing all this evidence, right? Actually, many did not. In John 12, verse 37, it says, But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him. What? Read that again. Although he had done so many signs, not one sign, not two, many, yet many still didn't believe. Because the miracles can amaze people, but they cannot force someone to surrender their heart. Some wanted different ideas and different reasons about this. Many people followed Yeshua because of his miracles. They loved the free bread and loved seeing the impossible. But when his teachings became difficult, many walked away. John 6 verses 66 to 69 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Yeshua said to the 12, do you all want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of the living Elohim. Notice the difference. Some followed for miracles. Peter followed because he recognized the truth. Yahweh is not looking for spectators. He is looking for disciples. This is what we have to get. Yeshua is told a powerful story when he told about Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man dies and asks Abraham to send Lazarus back from the dead to warn his brothers. Surely, if someone returned from the dead, everyone would believe. Listen to Abraham's answer. In Luke 16, 27 to 31, then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and he may testify to them, lest they also come to the place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one raises from the dead. Think about that. One of the greatest miracles imaginable, a dead man returns to life. Yet Abraham says some still won't believe. Why? Because the deepest issue isn't always evidence. It's the condition of one's heart. See, evidence can be ignored. Have you ever noticed that two people can witness the exact same event yet have completely different conclusions? One person says, Yahweh answered that prayer, and the other one says, it was just a coincidence. One person sees purpose, another sees chance. Often the evidence isn't changed, the interpretation has. That is what humility is in terms of importance and why it's so important. Sometimes people make believing Yahweh conditional. They say, if God does this, if God appears like this, if he answers these prayers exactly the way I want, then I'll believe. But notice what Yeshua said in Matthew 12, verses 38 to 39. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. Yeshua wasn't condemning every request for reassurance. He himself performed many signs. What he rebuked was the attitude that continually demanded more evidence while refusing to respond to the evidence that was already given. You see, there comes a point where asking for one more sign becomes an excuse not to obey. Imagine a husband who says to his wife, I'll admit you exist, but I don't want a relationship with you. That wouldn't be a marriage. Yahweh doesn't simply want people to acknowledge that he exists. He desires a relationship built on trust, love, repentance, and obedience. The goal of Yahweh's revelation is not to convince us and to change our minds. It is to transform our lives. So ask yourself these questions. Am I waiting for one more miracle before I obey Yahweh? Have I ignored evidence that Yahweh has already placed in my life? Am I seeking Yahweh himself or just dramatic experiences? If Yahweh answered every question today, would I truly surrender to him? These are the questions Scripture continually brings us back to. Remember, miracles are wonderful. Yahweh still works in powerful ways. But throughout the Bible, we learn that miracles alone do not create faithful hearts. A miracle may capture someone's attention. Only a humble and willing heart responds to Yahweh's call for faith. That is what we must remember. There's more to this answer than what we just spoke about. But I want what I said here to sit with you. It's a great question, a common question, and I pray you found some understanding in this answer. Shalom, shalom. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry. Jesus
loves me, this I know. Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.